Well, good morning again. It feels like a long time since I've been up in front of you guys preaching on a Sunday morning. And it is exciting to be back here again, seeing your smiling faces. Everybody give me your best smile on the count of three. One, two, three. Smile. Oh, man. That makes a guy feel loved. Yes. Not that it's coerced or anything, but, you know, hey, take what we can get. We are diving back into the book of Philippians that we may or may never get through. I don't know. We'll see. But we're having fun while we're in the middle of it. And we're still in chapter one. And I threw the last section of scripture up there so that we could go through it just to get some context for where we're at. And then we're going to move forward. So we're in Philippians chapter one. And the last time that I preached on Philippians, which is probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, this is the chunk of scripture that we went through. Remember, Paul is writing this his letter to the Philippians. He's in prison, and they had sent him a gift, and so he's writing, basically, this is a thank you letter, but it's in his appreciation of the Philippian church, and he was encouraging them. And so this is the section, this is verses 9 through 11, and he said this, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." What a beautiful picture of the church, right? That's Paul's prayer for you guys. "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now we're going to get to the next section. This is new ground, new territory. I'm going to read it, and then I want us to read it together after that. So I'll read it first. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." That's a lot of words. That's a good chunk of scripture. That's what we're going to go through today. So let's read that out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." That has become one of my new favorite things to do, is to read the scripture together. Man, that is our source and our strength. It's the word of God. It's the breathed word of God. And hearing all of us read that in unison together, it just warms my heart. So I like that. Thank you for reading that with me. So, Paul is a prisoner right now. He's in chains. And I bet Paul would have some thoughts about that. I bet the people that loved Paul would have some thoughts about that. Think about yourself. Imagine if all of a sudden you were in prison. Imagine your friends and family. What would they be thinking? What would they be saying? How would they be feeling? Would they be like, "Hey, that's cool"? Or would they be more of panic, concern, unjust? Like, what is going on? Why are you in prison? And what's going on here? Distrust? You're in prison? How come? What did you do? My parents would be like, "What did you do?"
"Not anymore."
"Not anymore? Oh, yeah. Now what did you do?" So, let's go to this. Tell me a story. Tell me a story. Who wants to tell me a story today? I have kind of been known as a storyteller. Not like in the bad way where you make up stories, although I can do that as well. But I tend to, apparently, when I'm sharing the facts of a situation or whatever, it can get long. I think we were in high school. And I was sharing about something or whatever to my high school friends. And I remember Shad Storley one time, finally, he grabbed me and he said, "Just get to the point." Apparently, and I feel this tension in me. And it's great for when it's used for, you know, purposeful things. It's horrible for all of you that have to endure it when you're just trying to find out how my day was. But I feel this. It actually is painful because I feel like there's all these facts that you need to know to put it in context to know what's going to happen next. And so I may be guilty of sharing a little too much sometimes. I guess I'm a storyteller. But the way that we navigate life is through stories. Huh? Hang with me. Very little of our life is just built purely on facts. Like we know the facts and then we just make decisions on that. No, we make a story out of it. It's the story of my life and how I see it and how you see it and how God sees it. That's really what we navigate our life by. And stories are powerful. Have you ever had something, maybe a group of people that you weren't really, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but you weren't interested in them at all. You were on your way to do something or whatever, and you heard them talking about a story, and you just kind of stopped and maybe eavesdrop a little bit, and 2 minutes later, you're like, oh, what happens now? A story has the power to catch us up in it, doesn't it? Maybe I'm the only one that does this. We used to flip through the channels. Now we have a guide, right? But remember the old days, flipping through channels? The only way to know what else was on was to flip to the next one. That's old school. And when you got to number three, that was it. That's all there was. There was 3 and 9 in PBS. Yep, yep. And then when I was a freshman in high school or 8th grade, we lost NBC and we got ABC. So we had to trade one for the other. I don't remember what happened, but somebody bought out something or something. And so, we had 3 channels, and the only way to know what was on channel 9 was to turn to channel 9. But have you ever been flipping through the channels and you're not interested in a show at all, and you happen to leave it on there just for a second, maybe you're picking up your coffee or whatever, and there's the story of the show kind of captures your attention for just a little bit, and you're not interested, you're like, this is dumb. And you find 8 minutes later, you're still going, well, this is dumb, but now you're eating popcorn. Stupid. Can't believe people watch. You ever said that? You ever been watching a show and you're totally enamored, and you're like, I can't believe people watch this stuff. Why? And nothing in your head has changed. You still believe it's dumb. Like, I can't believe, like, really, people like sit and watch. What changed? The story pulled you in. It hooked you. And you ever notice that you can be just completely blasé, non-emotional? I had an okay day. I don't mean blasé in a bad way. I mean just non-emotional. I'm like, I don't feel good or bad about it. I'm happy with life and whatever. And you get pulled into a story, and all of a sudden now you're on the edge of your seat. We'll usually watch some show at night, series or whatever, like just one show an evening with my family. And I've started to watch my body language, and I'll notice my fists are, because I know what's coming. A lot of them are ones older shows back when they were a little cleaner, and I'll know what's gonna happen next. And I find that I'm still all tensed up, and I'm like my leg will kind of kick out, and I'll kick Aspen, and be like, oh, sorry. But I find that I have reactions. Why do I have reactions? Because I have emotions. Like this story, and sometimes I even know what's going to happen. It's eliciting these responses from me. It's pulling my emotions into a state of fluffedness. Now there was all just like all mellow. Now I'm just all ruffled up. I'm mad, or I'm sad, or I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm apprehensive, or I'm angry, or I'm celebratory. I'm like, yes, that's so good. I didn't feel like that before I started watching the story or the show or the preacher or the story that someone's telling in the middle of a bunch of us guys standing around or whatever. But we get pulled into the story. And the reason it's so powerful is because that's how we navigate our lives. And so God's given us this creative ability to see ourselves in this story. And then all of a sudden, some story that has nothing to do with me. Anyone ever got done with someone telling a story and you're just like, oh, I'm so mad? Like, anyone? Or you're just something, there's like a shift in your emotions from when you, but it doesn't have anything to do with you. And it's not because of, my best friend's being mistreated or whatever. It's just a story. And you got worked up because of it. That's really common. We get pulled into stories. So tell me a story. We are navigating our life often by my storyline, the story that I'm saying is going on in my life. You see, I'm really good at not accurately interpreting the facts. But the thing is, I'm the one interpreting it, so guess who doesn't know? Me. I don't know that I'm not that good at that. I'm kind of clueless about what I'm clueless about. Otherwise, I would know, or something like that. So here's what happens sometimes when I'm telling my story. And what I mean by telling my story is, you guys know what self-talk is? Kind of the tape that's running in your head. You're not crazy. We're all talking to ourselves at all times. There's always this dialogue that going. So that's what I'm talking about, is the dialogue that's in our heart and our head that's making sense out of everything that we're walking through in the world. Making sense out of my own feelings. It's making sense out of my relationships. It's making sense out of what that turkey over there just said to me. It's making sense out of the guy that cut me off. I've got a story about that guy. Because I think I know what his motives were. I think I know something about this. So as I'm telling my story, usually I'm right in my story. Here's some of the pitfalls of me telling my story. In the downsides of me telling my story to me is that often in my story, I'm right. And you're not. Whoever you is. Whatever bad feelings I'm processing from the day, I'm right. I had the right interpretation of things. They didn't. I know what should have been done there. I know what should have been done there. Anyone ever watch a Vikings game? Do you see what I mean? You don't have to go very far to find this out. You know. Oh, you, according to you, in your story, since you're the author of it, you know how this should have played out different. You know what should have happened. You know what they should have done. So I'm right. You know what else happens sometimes? Well, I kind of already said this, but my version of the facts are completely accurate. Anyone ever had a relationship? Anyone ever been married? Had kids? Had a best friend? Had a coworker? My version of the fact, I'm not a liar, so I wouldn't lie. So I know in my knower that what I experienced there is right, and whatever they're telling you is skewed and it's wrong. Don't listen to them. Listen to me, because I'm right. My version of the story is accurate. And we don't do this intentionally. It just happens. And I'm just kind of giving you some examples. There's lots of things that you are amazing at telling yourself in your story as you're making sense of the world. We went through this. How many weeks did we spend on being a victim? Well, I'm a victim. I just, hey, listen. Gosh, it's not my fault. I'm innocent. No one has ever been as pure as you. Isn't that wonderful? No one's ever been as innocent and as non-guilty as you to you. We have this supernatural ability to believe that we're right and we're victims and everyone else is wrong and it's not my fault. But we were able to pad that with, yeah, I should have been a little nicer or whatever. But then we've moved on from that. We'll just let that sit there. And then we're back to my version of the story again. And one more. I kind of already alluded to it. Yeah, I know why they said that or why they did that. I know why that guy cut me off, because he's a jerk. You know what? He doesn't care about other people. Or he just got news that his wife is in the hospital, right? But I know. You see? Do you see what we're doing here? We're creating these stories. My coworker, yeah, we had an argument, but she's blah, blah, blah. Guess what? You've got a story there. And your version of that story is right. It might not be in real life, but to you, it's right. Just trying to share the pitfalls of us writing our own stories. But that's how we navigate. We're always trying to figure out why things are happening and how come I feel like this and how come they did that and how do I proceed forward. But the dangerous thing is we get sucked into the story. Now I've got all these emotions and responses that come because of the story. Guys, it's very important that you tell yourself the right story. Because a story has the power to elicit these responses from us. If I'm having wrong responses, it's because I'm believing the wrong story. There's my storyline, and then there's the storyline that other people want to write. In Paul's case, the storyline that the Philippian church would have wanted to write over him is, hey, you don't deserve that. You're innocent. You're out there preaching the gospel. Who has given more of their life and their time but you, Paul? This is not fair. God, that's not fair that Paul's got to be in prison. It's not, I don't like it. He's not with us. Other people have a story that they're trying to write over your life. Have you ever tried to, and often there's a positive side that ends up always not so being so positive, but well-meaning people that really love you and really want to see the best for your life often misinterpret God's intentions over your life. Well, you shouldn't have to go through that. You shouldn't have to walk that. Instead of coming alongside of us, people that are moved with compassion, they don't like to see us hurting, they don't like to see us suffer, they don't like to see us go through things, often will short circuit what God's trying to do in our life. You don't sound convinced. And that's not a bad, it's not from ill intentions. It's because people really love us and they want to find the quickest exit off of this ramp, because I don't like seeing you walk through that. And maybe God's got you walking through that to build in something in you. He's building character. He's building patience. He's pouring out his strength in you. And they, because they love you and just don't want to see you going through anything, would quickly have you exit out of that God plan and into something that's a little more comfortable for them, because they don't like to see you whatever, fill in the blank. And I think we do that all the time. Or you've got others in your life that are jealous of you, that stir up rumors about you, that think that just because you know that why everyone else did stuff, guess what? There's other yous out there that know why you did stuff. They're writing their own story, and they're overlaying that over your life. Oh, well, yeah, well, I know why they gave $1,000 to that. It's because they want their name something. I know why they went and served at the food pantry. It's because they just love all they knew that the reporter was going to be there, and they were going to get their name in the paper that week. Yeah, I knew. See, they're always overlaying things over your life that aren't true. They're either friends that love you and want to help you, family members that want to serve you and see you do well, that maybe aren't trying to, but maybe are trying to write a story and make sense of all of this going on in your life that's not really accurate. Or they have bad intentions and they just don't like you and they are jealous of you and they don't want to see you succeed and they're intimidated by you or fill in the blanks. And so they're writing a story over your life. What's the danger of believing that story? Oh my gosh, you get sucked into that storyline that someone else is writing over your life, and all of a sudden now we're missing out on all kinds of God things. We have a devil that loves to run around, sow seeds into our thoughts and ideas into our hearts, and create a storyline over our life that sounds very plausible. Here's the thing. If there was truly this red-horned pitchfork creature, which I don't think is what Satan looks like, but if he would show up on the scene and say, and he would talk like this, you are to give your life to Satan, and you, like, if that's the story he's saying, you'd be like, get a breath mint and leave me alone, right? Like, it would be very obvious. But here's what the Satan often sounds just enough like you to be plausible. Yeah, you really aren't loved. And your flesh is like, see, I knew it. I had a feeling last week, and there's that voice. Yeah, you really aren't making a difference. Your future's not going to be any better than it is now. Yeah, I kind of had that feeling, right? And something resonates, and it sounds very plausible. That could be true. But what happens is I get sucked into that storyline, and now I start playing out what would happen. Oh, that's right. Oh, and this probably will. Oh, yep, I could see that. And pretty soon, I've got all these emotions that go along with that story. And you know what those emotions do? It changes my body language. And it changes my reactions, and it changes my actions. It changes how I see the future, and it changes my intentions. All because I got caught up in a story that didn't even have anything to do with me. It had everything to do with Satan or some other people in my life, but I started believing that story because that's how I navigate the world. That's how I think I know. Or we can follow God's storyline over our lives. God is writing something over our lives that we have to separate and sift out from all the other voices. Because God's storyline often sounds different than what the other three, they sound very similar. And that seems crazy. Well, wait a minute. My friends that love me and Satan, like where all three of those are going to sound? Yeah, they're all going to sound pretty similar. The voice of God is often contrary to what our natural instinct would be because often we're walking by the flesh. I mean, not you guys. I'm talking about other Christians in other churches, but you know, you guys are walking completely by the Spirit, and that's good. But should you ever walk by the flesh, it would be easy to get sucked into those stories. And the story that God is speaking over us sounds a little off. And so I get out my Bible and I start seeing, oh, what are you speaking over my life? What purposes do you have for me? Well, that's different than what I thought. That's different than what I'm hearing in my heart right now. So let's do this. How do I know where this story is coming from? How do I know where this story is coming from? You guys, first of all, we talked earlier about awareness before the message. We got to be aware that there's a reel playing in my mind. There's a story that's trying to make sense out of all these different facts. It's trying to make sense out of all these different interactions with people. It's trying to make sense out of how I feel right now. There's a story that's being played out. So I've got to ask myself, is this a God story, or is this a me story, or is this a someone else story, or is this a devil story? What kind of story is this? Here's a first question to ask about that. What is it producing in me? What is this story producing in me? Like, just stop. Just before you're like, I wonder if this is of God. Just stop for a second. Let's just look inward. What is it producing in me? I'm going to tell you a story about me yesterday. I was going through the day, and it was in the middle of the day. I'd been working on some stuff on my computer, and I went actually to go work out. And in the middle of that, I didn't even realize it, but a story was playing on in my head. And you know how I noticed that? Because I started seeing all of this stuff that was being worked up in me. I was getting angry. I was getting depressed. I was getting fearful. I was getting hopeless. I was just going to stupid workout, right? And it caught me, and I said, whoa, hold on, stop. And I did that. I just stopped. And I said, what kind of story is playing right now? And I realized I had been even physically mumbling a little bit to myself. I didn't even know it. And I'd been playing out scenarios. And a lot of what I was doing was, yeah, I know why they did that. I know why they said that. Oh, I bet this is going to happen. I bet, oh, yep. And then over here, oh, gosh. And I had this whole entire demonic story playing out in my head. It created things in me that none of that hopelessness, is that from heaven or hell? It's not from heaven. Fear, where's that from? Not heaven, right? Encouragement, that's of the, we're to encourage one another, and the Holy Spirit encouraged. Did I feel encouraged after this story was playing out? Nope, I felt the opposite of that. All of the sudden, after asking that question, it was really, really easy to discern where this was coming from. It was a combination of me agreeing with a storyline that Satan had, you know, speaking over my life. And it was all of a sudden, it was really simple. And it was real facts. None of the facts changed. Here's the thing. When you're creating your story, none of the facts change. It's your interpretation and the storyline that you're trying to create. Someone really did say this. I really did get this text. I really do have to be at work an hour early tomorrow. All of these things are true. My body does feel this way, right? They're all facts. None of the facts change. But my storyline that incorporates all those facts, how I'm going to process through them, what I'm going to do with them, the reactions that I'm going to have, how I'm going to proceed, that changes based on what story I'm believing. And so I just stopped in my tracks, you know, asked myself this question. What feelings and emotions is this storyline producing in me? Are they positive or negative? Is it feelings of anger, but the anger is producing me to want to see justice done, and it's in a acceptable legal way, or it's going to help someone? Or is it producing anger in me that's destructive, that's just destroying me? Is it producing the fear of the Lord in me, or is it producing fear for every other scenario and situation? What is it? What are the emotions? What are the feelings that it's producing? And then in order to further process, what kind of, I can look back and look at responses, actual physical, you know, maybe I've written a letter or a text or I've went somewhere or I've done something. That's an actual physical or physiological response to an emotion or a feeling that came from a story that wasn't an accurate story. What are my actions? Like, what am I doing about it? Here's a good one. How is this affecting my treatment of others? If a storyline over your life is from God, and we're having the appropriate response to that, if that's the story that we're adopting, then persecution brings joy. Then pressing produces patience, long-suffering, right? And how I treat you, am I patient with you? Am I joyful towards you? Not saying I just ignore issues or whatever, that's not, but I'm saying just in my generic treatment of others, if I'm believing the God story over my life more than the other stories, it's producing life. If I'm not producing life, if it's causing me to treat people shortly or without honor, right? If I'm treating people with suspicion and a stiff arm, wait a minute. What storyline am I believing? Is it one that's accurate? Is it a God storyline, or is it from one of the other three sources? Because that's producing something in me that's not godly. Now, it might not just be like blatant sin, but is it producing the fruit and the life of God in me? See, when we believe the storyline of God, it produces life because it's infused with the Holy Spirit. It's empowered by God, and it produces God reactions. Is it changing how I view my future? Yesterday, as I stood there, I all of a sudden, just in a matter of about 30 minutes, I could have convinced you that I had a miserable, hopeless future. I had so bought into this stupid storyline that it was just bizarre. And I think the Lord let me walk through that just so I could help share that today. Like, I just went, wait a minute. I looked at what my view of life was last week, and nothing had changed. Here's the weird thing. Nothing had changed. The facts that I was rehearsing in my heart were stuff that had happened a while back. And so I'm rehearsing these things through, and there was a literal storyline that I was following, and it had me caught up in it. All of a sudden, I'm getting pulled along. I'm eating my popcorn. I'm like, oh yeah, then I'm gonna be totally destroyed. Oh, that's gonna be horrible. My future is nasty. Oh, it's not gonna be good at all. And I'm sucked right into it. That was my experience yesterday. And the way I got out of it is I stopped and I said, God, this is not producing any, there is nothing holy about this. There's nothing encouraging about this. There's nothing faith-filled about this. This is all the opposite of that. And in my moment of human wisdom and amazing intelligence, I said, I don't think that's of God. I just had a light bulb moment. I said, doom, despair, fear, anger, antagonism. It was revenge wanted to come. Like, of God or not? Yeah, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But in that moment, man, did I shine. I'm like, this is not of God. Because I don't think any of these things are of God. And all of a sudden, the curtain gets pulled back. And I'm like, that's just a story. I don't have to listen to that. And I started seeking the Lord. God, what's your story over this situation? How are you? What kind of things am I to be believing about this that are accurate to you? You know, the Proverbs, see, when we go to change the story, the Proverbs spoke to this. It said this. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone else comes forward and cross-examines. Like, you're convinced the first person that gets up there, and they're like, yeah, man, that story is great. Until another person comes up, and they're like, here's what you don't know, jury. This happens. And, oh, by the way, you didn't mention that so-and-so also was in the room. Oh, yeah. Like, now the jury has to decide which of these stories is accurate. The Proverbs is saying in a lawsuit, man, one is going to sound, well, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. That's the truth right there. Until another comes forward. See, listen, it's so easy for us to discern these other voices. We can hear those. Man, I don't even have to try. I can hear those voices. But I've got to allow room for the Lord to come and speak his story over my life. When he stands up and starts speaking, then I go, oh. Because you know what's going on? There's a lawsuit for your soul. You have legal right over you. And Holy Spirit is always drawing us, as we did this morning, to bow our knee and say, I surrender, I surrender. I yield to your plan, to your story. And all these other stories are all fighting for legal right of our life. Satan's always trying to invite us into his story over our life that sounds really similar to ours. But the end is death. Our flesh writing our own story, others even out of goodwill sometimes, or others out of ill will, are trying to have a story written over our lives that wants to lead to disaster. Well, we can legally give that to the story. It's our life. So in the lawsuit for our soul, let's listen to the second voice. Let's listen to the voice of the Father. Let's listen to the story of God over our life. So here's what Paul says. Go back to the verses again. Now I want you to know what's actually happened. I want to tell you the God story. See, you guys are worried about me being in this prison. You're worried about me being in chains. You're concerned for me, and you're trying to write this story over my life that I shouldn't have to go through this, and I appreciate your concern. But hey, guys, I want you to know what's actually happened here. I want to be the voice of God here. I want to tell you about the story that's really happening over my life. Paul could have got full of self-pity. He could have listened to how the guards were taunting him and whatever. He could have listened to that story. Could have bought into that. Another version says, I want you to know what's really happened. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You're thinking this is a bad thing. Paul's saying, God's story is, no, there's a plan for all this. There's a purpose for all this. God's got this. He's not struggling to get me out of this. He's got a purpose in this. He's not struggling to get me on the off-ramp. He's got a purpose in this. The only way to find God's purpose in the middle of it is to listen to the God story. And Paul did. He said, hey guys, I want to invite you into the God story here. Don't try to write your own story over my life, and certainly don't ask me about what I think's going on. But God has clarified to me that this is for his purposes. A couple more quotes. Warren Wiersbe says, Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but instead he went as a prisoner. See, he's in Rome now, and he's spreading the gospel to the Roman center, to the capital. He says, the same God who used Moses' rod, Gideon's pitchers, and David's slings used Paul's chains. He goes on to say, little did the Romans realize that the chains they affixed to his wrists would release Paul instead of bind him. Let me read that again. Little did the Romans realize that the chains that they affixed to his wrist would release Paul instead of bind. It released him into the purposes and plans of God. It released him to spread the gospel in a place that he couldn't have got into otherwise. It released within 240 years or so that the entire Roman world would be 2/3 or 3/4 Christian. God was unleashing a plan that was so far beyond what Paul could even think of. But he knew that voice, and he knew that in the middle of this, I've got to listen to the God plan. Last slide for today. Warren Wiersbe finishes with this quote. He said, when you have the single mind, meaning the single focus on God, when you have the single mind, you look on your circumstances as God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel, and you rejoice at what God is going to do instead of complaining about what God did not do. I'm sure there's many of you that don't ever have any problems in life. You never have a coworker that you struggle with. You never have problems with your children. And that's great, but for the rest of us, for those of us that live in the real world, it is so important that we follow the right story, because the storyline is going to hook us in. And then our emotions and our responses and our reactions and how I treat people and the fruit that's produced in me is all tied to that storyline. I've got to get in the Word of God. I've got to see what the Word of God speaks over me. I've got to spend time in His presence. And I don't mean now I lay me down to sleep, and those are great, but I mean I've got to wait in His presence. I've got to spend more than a minute, a couple minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. 20 minutes, Pastor? Come on, that's getting a little crazy. But I need to hear His voice. I need to surrender my heart to His story over my life. And then in the middle of that, God pulls out glorious God purposes for your story, because He writes His story over your story. He lines your life up with what He wants to produce in it. So that's what I see when I see this part in Philippians, where Paul is saying, you know what, I'm in chains here, but man, you've got to get the God story here. So I don't know what chains are hooked up to you today. I don't know what things look unappealing or feel like they're meant to bind you, but God is very well either going to break them, or if He doesn't, He's going to use them to increase you. Be great if I had some more patience. Guess what I need? If I need more patience, I need circumstances that develop that. I need some more hope. I need some more faith. Guess what? God's going to bring you through things that create that faith in you. It would be great, as I end here, closing today, if there was a spiritual vending machine. And we could take our Jesus credits, and we could just put it in, and boop, boop, boop. All right, now I got more faith. But here's what happens. When you need those things, if you need to produce, you're like, I'm lacking in loving people. I need to love more. Guess what? God's going to bring your path across unlovable people, because He's developing your love muscles. If you need more faith, you may see some situations that are scary because He's developing your faith. Do you see what I mean? That's your spiritual vending machine. Well, Pastor, I don't like that. I agree. I don't like it either. But that's how it's set up. So it's important as we walk through that to like the one quote said, not complaining about what God didn't do, but anticipating what God is going to do in the middle of these circumstances. That's the God story over your life. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray today, and we'll be dismissed. God, I just pray that you'd help us to believe the right voices in the middle of everything that we walk through. Lord, it seems so easy to think that we know and to feel like we're a victim or to agree with some negative thing that people are speaking over our lives, or even to agree, far be it from us, but to agree with the enemy, what he wants to speak over our life, to get discouraged, to get fearful, to get despondent, to treat people poorly because of that. But Lord, I just thank you that right now you're giving us an awareness that there's these other voices and we don't have to listen to them. We listen to your voice, Lord. Help us, no matter how strange it seems, when the Word of God tells us to do something, that it's your kingdom. And the King, your ways are higher than our ways, and they produce God things in us. Lord, thank you for this church body. I bless them today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.